Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It takes me right to, you know, Air Force Major General Craig Olson at the National Day of Prayer. We couldn't say it any better. He's over a $10 billion budget, something of that nature. You'll hear him talk about it, how he dedicates and credits God for everything. And he's under attack by certain groups who are saying that this general shouldn't have been able to pray and talk like that. Well, today we're going to dedicate most of our program so you can hear Air Force Major General Craig Olson on the National Day of Prayer. As a matter of fact, take a look. Let's join him here. The video is not that high quality, but you're going to be able to see him.
Well, we're on the final stretch. I want to thank you for persevering. Thank you for taking the time to make this a priority today. We just have a few more speakers in prayer. This is the portion where we pray for our military. And we have two distinguished men whom I have a great deal of respect for, not only because of the uniform that they wear, but because of the character of their hearts. They love this nation, and they are honored to be here amongst you. So let me introduce both of them. They will come up separately. And so let me begin with Major General Craig Olson. He is a program executive officer for C3I and networks at Hanscom Air Force Base in Massachusetts. He's responsible for 2,200 personnel and an acquisition budget of $10.9 billion. General Olson was commissioned in 1982 following his graduation from the U.S. Air Force Academy right in our backyard. The general has flown operational aircraft from the F-15 to the F-4. He has tracked some 1,900 flying hours in 20 different aircraft. He will be speaking for the military. And then also we have Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Williams from the Pentagon, who will also pray for the military. Chaplain Kenneth Williams was awarded his Ph.D. in leadership. He's a graduate of the United States Airborne School. In 1989, Chaplain Williams entered the Arkansas Army National Guard as a first lieutenant in the Chaplain Corps. In November of 2014, he began serving as a Pentagon chaplain, overseeing the religious support for over 25,000 personnel. And he recently received a Global War on Terrorism Service Medal. Let's begin with Major General Craig Olson. Please welcome him now.
Wow. I like to start every time I get to speak with something I'm thankful for. And who's warm in here right now? Like warm. I'm really happy about that because we spent the winter in Boston. Did anybody hear about that this year? An epic winter. And we saw all 110 inches of snow. I'm really happy it's over. So I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for Dr. Jim and Shirley Dobson, for the heart they have for the nation and for prayer. I'm sure I'm not the only one in here who had God use them to help raise their sons. Raise your hand if you're in that category. So my wife and I are in that category. Thank you for your hearts for the family. John Bornstein, got to know him through the next person I'm going to say thankful for, but I thank you, John, for your heart for ministry, a pastor of a church, a chairman of a task force, a family with many kids, many candles burning on many ends, but God in the middle of it all. It's been a joy to come to know you this year. And Major General Joe Ward, I'm very thankful for. He was speaking here last year. A former neighbor of my wife and I, someone I met with in an accountability group years ago, just to keep each other accountable and to pray together. He told me that he did this last year, and he said, it was awesome. You just got to hear about this. And that led to me being here today. So I'm thankful for that. Finally, though, and mostly, I'm thankful that I'm a redeemed believer in Christ standing here right now. Who else feels like they've been in church all day? You know, this has been one of the most powerful, meaningful church services I've been in my entire life. It's the longest one, for sure. But that's what's cool about it. I don't get to go to church this long on Sunday. And I don't get to hear this kind of talent every Sunday sing. The Legacy Brothers, who with their wonderful ties, look at their ties. It's America on a tie. Their talent, their gifts are phenomenal. You don't hear that every day. I've heard it last night and today. Speakers. I've been with fellow redeemed Christians who happen to be educators, who happen to be businessmen, who happen to be medical professionals, who happen to be public officers. I'm just a Christian who happens to be in the Air Force. So we all have things we do, but we're believers, and we love Christ, and we love this nation. And that's the point of America. We get to be out and about in America as believers in the various places God appoints us. And I'm just gathered with a bunch of those today. So I'm thankful for that. So I'm going to tell you just for a couple minutes of why prayer is so very personally meaningful to me today, and why this nation and its freedom and the military's role in protecting that freedom have come to mean so much to me. First, prayer. I did not go to college. I did not join the military as a Christian. I actually went in the military because I thought flying would be great, and it sounded like fun. I also went in as a very self-sufficient person. I thought if you work hard, study hard, you'll do fine, and that was working great in high school. Did not work very well at the Air Force Academy. That's where I realized I had a very limited intellectual ability. I still carry in this pocket my transcript from the Air Force Academy as Exhibit A in the court of law that you're not a gifted intellect. You have no real academic skills. It's proof right here. But something happened there at the Academy. I went to Bible studies because I was free to do that. I was free to go to Bible study. If someone invited me there, I learned about Christ. I was convicted. I was drawn to commit my life to Christ in April of 1979. And I realized that shortly that would begin the journey of learning to depend on someone besides myself. Let's stop depending on Craig and learn to depend on God. That just started at that point. God has been gracious enough and patient enough to give me countless other opportunities to learn greater dependence on Him. You mentioned a couple of them as you're reading experiences. Flying complex aircraft, doing complex nuclear missions, I had no ability to do that. God enabled me to do that. He put me in charge of failing programs worth billions of dollars. I have no ability to do that, no training to do that. God did that. He sent me to Iraq to negotiate foreign military sales deals through an Arabic interpreter. I have no ability to do that. I was not trained to do that. God did all of that. In all those experiences and many more like them, I found myself admitting I couldn't do that and handing it over to God in prayer. But those are the small things. The bigger things is my lovely bride, Dana. Please raise your hand one more time. You know, He gave me an awesome, beautiful wife of now 32 years to teach me that I needed her desperately to complete myself. I needed her to support me in all those things that God was appointing me to in the military. And she has stood by me in every one of those. And in many cases, she's been ignored in those things, but she stood by me. It wasn't enough for her, though. God gave us four young men to raise, because that's even more complex than trying to love your wife. And that's why you turn to people like the Dobsons and others for help to do that. But you get on your knees to do that, to raise four young men. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them in particular in a couple minutes. God put me in positions in the church, in the Boy Scouts, in sporting activities, all positions to do because He called me to, but I wasn't gifted or able to do. And each of them was more of a chance to depend on Christ. So that's why this picture here, I've been staring at it last night and staring at it in the morning, because what's that man doing? He's on his knees, bowed before God. Has anybody seen, we've talked about George Washington today, a painting of him with his horse on his knees, bowed before God. Who has seen that? That is just emblazoned here a military general on his knees before God, dependent on God. And so God has given me these experiences to drive me further and further before God in position. I mean, early in my walk with God, pray as you're walking around, you know, pray at the dinner table, bow your head, sure. But God put certain messages in my life and speakers in my life that taught me more specific things about prayer. One was at a Promise Keepers convention. A speaker, I think his name was Jack Hayford, he said he had trouble getting up in the morning with a good attitude. You know, alarm would go off and he'd be mad. I don't want to get up. You know, and he said, well, that's not the right way to approach my day for God. So what am I going to do? I'll tell you what, God's going to, when the alarm goes off, I'm going to roll out of bed and fall on my knees. So the first position of the day is on my knees before God. And he said, as soon as he started doing that, his attitude tended to change. I'm before God. He's given me another day to live. I need to live it for him. I'm pretty excited about that. The day I heard that, I started the very next day. Every time the alarm goes off, I'm going to fall on my knees. And I think it's been 20 years I've been doing the same thing. So God gave me that picture. God gave me another now retired major general. When I was struggling with very difficult jobs that I knew I couldn't do on my own, he went through a time of testing in his life when he lived in Colorado, and God put him prostrate before the Rocky Mountains. And you gentlemen know what they look like. Many of you know what they look like. They humble you because of the Creator, the power of the Creator. So he would get flat on his belly, prostrate before God every day, facing the Rocky Mountains. That was a very powerful picture in my head, in my heart. So I found myself doing that many times a day during a week, closing the door of the office or finding some closet somewhere where I can get that way because I just need to. And I'll stop many times a day to pause in prayer for that next meeting, that next phone call, that next decision. So yes, you can pray like it's breathing, has been said today. But the position of that prayer really matters a lot to me. The pastor who married Dana and I, he gave us a little counseling, and we learned there that you need to finish every day as a husband and wife in prayer. So that started the day we got married. We finished the day and we prayed together. So 32 years of times 365, we finished the days in prayer. Do you have to be together? No. You have phones. You can pray together on the phone. We've done that with 8,000 miles between us from Iraq to Ohio. And it's very hard to go to bed mad at your wife when you're praying. You know what you typically realize? There's something wrong with me that God is fixing in this prayer. There's nothing wrong with her. There's something wrong with me, and God reveals that in prayer. So what a great way to work a relationship. Finish the day in prayer. And then there's four young men. Long stories, but there's been years where I felt very distant from them because I was physically and emotionally distant that the calling of the military just has led to, and some of my own decisions of how to use my time. So there are four adults right now, age 23 to almost 29, and I'm trying and praying very hard to build what I call an accountable Christian adult relationship with our sons, and praying with them and working issues together like fellow Christian adults. So what do we find ourselves doing once or twice a week? iPhones merged across four or five different states, talking, sharing, laughing, listening, and finishing with what? Prayer. So from morning till night, in positions like this, that's what prayer means to me. It's continuous and everything has to revolve around it. That's what today has reinforced in an exponential fashion to me. That's why I've enjoyed being in church for 6 hours or whatever it's been right now. I'm just extending it because I love this. All right, so America, why does this country and its freedoms and the role of the military mean so much to me? Like I said, I didn't go to the Air Force Academy. I didn't join the Air Force because I was a patriot. I wanted to fly. It didn't take long to become a patriot, though. because you're surrounded by people, you're taking an oath of office, you're with military bands, you're studying America, you're experiencing America as you go around the world and why it works. You know, it's been said today, but it's been reinforced to me today. You know, how should flawed sinners govern themselves? What's the way to do that? Let's try this experiment called democracy, and let's write a constitution founded on prayer, founded on the Bible. And it's full of things that help Christians succeed in life. Checks and balances, you know, authorities that are spread around, choice, chances to many opportunities to prevent a nation from departing. It is prevented by the Constitution if it's properly exercised and founded on a moral compass. That was our nation, a Constitution written for flawed sinners with a moral compass of the Bible. So does it work? Has it worked? Yes. How do we keep it working? We get back to that moral compass, and we pray. So I've been in many nations, visited many parts of the world, and it's just reinforced to me everywhere I've went how awesome it is to be an American, to be able to pursue your dreams. I've done that. I've done more things than I ever thought I could do or get to do. Our family's been able to do that. 4 young men are now pursuing their dreams as American citizens. They didn't earn any of that. It was a gift by being born in America.
We just said the most of our program today was dedicated to Major General Craig Olson of the United States Air Force, who on May the 7th, the National Day of Prayer, talked for 23 powerful minutes. It reminds me of another National Day of Prayer where Dr. Ben Carson spoke. I mean, it shifted the nation.
Yeah.
One man's speech, a brain surgeon, you know, that it shifted a nation. And people begin to just think, and who this is, and I'll be able to find out, you know, more, tell you in the future. It's probably some of our future programs. But I think it's actually Billy Graham that said this. When one man stands, other people begin to, other people's backbones begin to stiffen.
Wow.
When one man stands, then the backbones of others begin to stiffen.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And that it makes a difference when you stand. Like this General Olson, standing, Major General Olson, and unapologetic. It's so constitutionally sound in what he said. It's so biblically correct in what he said, and it's such good neighborly sound.
Sure, and the great humility. I mean, this is a major general. This is a person who has earned his career, and to be able to give all the credit to the Lord and not to take any credit for himself. I mean, to me, that just speaks of volumes, especially the dependency factor. This is what we want our young men, our young women to aspire to achieve great things in their life, do well in their work careers and their environments, but to do it under the empowerment that God provides with the wisdom so that God can get all the glory. I'm thankful that a man of this character and stature that loves the Lord is serving in the capacity that he is.
You know, religion says that you better be into me because God's not into you. But relationship with God, salvation, family of God, heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, the family of God, sons of God, daughters of God, that speaks of communion, of relationship, of God. God is so into you that he gave his son for you. And prayer, that's the statement, the vocabulary, like so many words that are so powerful, their meaning, has been taken away. And people, I remember going to a function that wasn't a political function, but a politician pulled out a book and he just read this prayer, you know, a book of prayers. And he just read this prayer. And I thought, wow, you know, why would you show up at a church? I mean, isn't it real simple just to pray? And you can write out your prayer, understand that kind of thing, but he actually read it from somebody else's prayer. And it's like, you know, religion is when you think, you know, there's something outside of you. You're trying to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah.
And God is somebody that he isn't. And somehow these two strangers are meeting in the night. And you're going like, hey, if you don't mind, swing. And it's versus, you know, God designed you, created you. Just like this Major General Olson's talking about, and he's actually in love with you. He said he watches over you, that he writes down the things that you do in regards to a book of remembrance, and if there's bad things that we have done,
He says that he'll even forgive us of those things if we ask him, and he will remove them from us. He'll throw them in the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more.
Wow.
And he wants to hear your thoughts. He wants to hear how your day's going. I mean, just like Adam strolled with God in the garden, that was his whole original plan, and the fall of man took that away, but we got that back through Jesus. Yeah. And so prayer, you can just think about this. I mean, just like the general said when he heard at that Promise Keepers meeting, you know, you're having issues like, I'm getting out of bed grumpy like Pat in the morning, and I need help. I need help, you know.
Well, think about the great privilege that we have to be able to be in communication. That's what prayer is, communication with God.
Just talking, like we're doing now.
Yeah, we're expressing, and it's humbling. You think about it. We're expressing our desires, our intentions. We're asking God to intervene in the life of,
and he does,
and he wants God. To. He wants to.
He's God. He think about this. Your father, if you choose to take this mission, your father can be creator of the universe. Your elder brother and Lord and Savior could be his son, Jesus Christ, and you can talk with him. You can access him anytime, anywhere, and he wants to hear. He tells all the angels in heaven, shh, my son is talking. And he's interested. The only thing the devil has going for him is to convince you that he's not interested in you, he's not into you, and he lies to you, and you believe, and you're approaching God like some foreign aspect of it's not authentic. And versus going, you know, God loves me. God's got a plan for my life. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. Granted, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. But he loved me where I used to be. So if he loved me where I used to be and he was okay with me then, I know he's okay with me now. Yeah. So I need to get over this so I can be in relationship with him and help other people get in relationship with him. And but you think about it, you're about to walk into a business deal and, you know, you don't know which way it's going to go and you're refusing to be a manipulator and to be sneaky. You just want it to go deal to go good. Well, you need to go to God and say, God, I really want this deal to work out. Maybe you're going to buy a property, buy a house. You don't know what's behind them walls. You don't know what the wiring's like. You don't know what the future's like. You don't know what your neighbors are like. You don't know all that. But if you say, God, I want you to lead us to the house.
Yes.
And he leads you to the house. He will do it. Yes. And then you dedicate that house to him. And that's a place where you guys have your relationship, you know, you and God, that communion with God. Angels are ascending, descending. It's where, you know, you're going to be asleep at night. He's going to give you a dream. It's where, you know, family's going to grow up and praying to him and talking to him, thanking for all the food that's going to come through your pantry and on your table. You know, he's going to be in communion with you as you thank him for that food. I mean, choices for leadership, choices where you're going to worship. You know, just so many, where you're going to live geographically, so many things. And right now, today, of all the things that we should be listening to, we should be listening to like Major General Craig Olson, who's telling us, listen, this is the only way this freedom and this constitution and this land that we have can be sustained. It's through men having the right to prayer. He said, you see, I joined the military. I wanted to fly planes. But when I was in, because I had the right to go down and to a ministry where people were ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, I went. He said, because I had the right to do that.
And the freedom.
And the freedom to do that's what he said. And then he said, because of that, I actually, at that point, was convicted and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point, I began a journey. I mean, that is really what this whole thing about this experiment of America, you know, began and as we're walking through that. And so understanding that this is so important, that's why we dedicated a large portion of our program today to be able to say, you know, we need to listen to this man that fought for us for the right to be able to worship God. And I believe we're going to be held accountable. I know we're going to be held accountable before God that you had this freedom. And what did you do with it? Did you squander it?
Yeah.
Did you tell anybody about me? Did you go talk to your neighbors? I was scared. Did you give? I didn't want to give up my stuff. You know, did you talk about me at your workplace? I didn't want to lose my job. You know, did you talk about me when you were a general? You know, I defended your country. I just want to pray with you now. I want to pray with you right now. You can join us here in the studio. And we just want to pray for this general. He's under attack, Major General Craig Olson. But I believe the Lord's hand is definitely upon him. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for Major General Craig Olson. We thank you how you're blessing him and blessing his family, how he's given you glory. And he's given you honor, Lord God, and he's shown us how you're involved in his life and how you're involved in leading in our military through him and other Christians that stand up. God, we just come against this attack over him, this attack over our nation, this attack over our constitutional rights, an attack over our military soldiers and officers who just want to worship freely and follow you, Father God, and over the chaplains. We pray that you would cancel those attacks. And we pray, Lord, for the church to awaken and to arise, Lord God, and say, you know, here we are. We're going to stand up just like this general did in bright daylight and just say, I love God. I'm not perfect. I'm on this journey, but I have the freedom to be able to do that because of prayer, because of the founding fathers who laid this constitution out to say that we can pray. God, send us a revival, a third great awakening, I pray, in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.